It's time for another legislative update here on Castle Country Focus. And joining us once again today, we have Representative Christine Watkins. We'll talk about week three of the legislative process. So Representative Watkins, again, a pleasure. Thank you for the time today.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff, I think, on tap today. First off, we'll start by talking about celebrations. I know that in the midst of everything that's going on, you guys still manage to have fun and you guys also pay homage. And that's what we can start talking about early on today.
Right. This is the year that we call the 2020 Better Days, and it's celebrating the 19th Amendment when women were given the right to vote. And here in Utah, we're celebrating this week. The first American woman to vote was here in Utah, and it was actually February 14th, and 150 years ago. And it was by a young woman named Seraph Young. Her uncle was Brigham Young, and so that's kind of gives you that relationship there. But she was single. She was a teacher at a school that later became the University of Utah, and it was election day, and so she just wanted to make sure she got to vote. She's not thinking about that she's going to become famous in history for this. She just goes to vote. And so actually one of the murals on the House floor is of her casting that vote. And so she cast her vote, went home, and history was made. And then, of course, when we became a state in the Union, that voting privilege was taken away from the women in Utah. And so then we had to do all the suffrage, and I use that term we, loosely, because was not here, but many of the women in Utah became suffragettes, and they were working to get that vote back, and eventually we were successful. So it's 150 years in celebration of Seraph Young being the first woman to vote, period. This is also the 100th year celebration of getting that 19th Amendment for women to be able to vote.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's great. As far as some of the House bills, let's dive into those. These are so interesting to me. And every time we talk about these each week, sometimes you'll bring up a House bill that I was unaware of, and I have to go research it because it is so interesting. We'll start with House Bill 88. I didn't know anything about this. You briefly went over it with me before we hopped on air, so I'll let you explain it.
Okay. This is the School and Child Care Center water testing requirement. And about 3 years ago, a group of us in our Natural Resources Committee field trip. We went to a number of the water resource places, and we ended up in, I think it's Provo, in a big water where they clean the water and it comes out of the mountain. We got to see that whole process. And one of the things we learned about was a problem with lead in the water in some of the schools and stuff, and it actually wasn't coming from the water, it was coming from bad faucets and stuff. So one of our representatives kind of decided that was interesting, did research, and ran a bill last year to fund testing of all of these faucets, and if they needed to be changed out, then the districts and the child care centers would know about it and they'd get that done. Well, it passed in the House. The Senate killed it because it had such a huge fiscal note. So he brought it back this year, but without the fiscal note. So he's saying to all the child care centers and schools, we want you to do this. We're going to require you to do this at $40 a faucet. And think of how many faucets can be in a school. And then if it's some that tests with a high lead content, higher than what we want, then you remediate that. You fix that. And so we're talking about this, and I spoke up and I said, I just want you to know why I'm not going to support this bill. I love children. I taught school. I had kids. The issue here is another unfunded mandate to schools. I said, you know, in rural Utah, we work on such a thin margin of having enough money to do what we really feel like we need to do, and it isn't enough. And so then to throw this in is just more than I can do for my school district. So it did go down. I'm not sure what they're going to be doing, But the Department of Environmental Quality in their drinking water area, they do have a grant. So if a school district or a child care center wanted to test, they can contact them and they can get the funding until the money runs out to do that testing. But I thought I was the only one that was kind of standing up to it and saying, no, I just can't do this, and found out, nope, everybody else was kind of thinking the same way. So we put it on hold to let them see if they can figure out what they want to do. But there's just not a lot of money up here this year. It's kind of depressing. And so we're trying to do great things, but there's no money.
Fantastic. Well, we'll keep an eye on House Bill 88. Let's jump over and talk about daylight savings, because I think this one, everybody has an opinion on this, right?
Oh, boy, do they. And I hear about them. And so we've had representatives, we've had senators. Almost every year I've been up here, there's been a bill dealing with daylight savings, either to go to it or not to go to it. And so it's been kind of interesting. So the Senate has passed a bill to make daylight savings stay in place all year long. So now it's going to come to the House. I don't know what the House committee will do, but it'll be interesting. But it's a little bit different than what we've done before, because if we pass it, we couldn't go right into daylight savings time. We would have to have Congress give us permission, because they're the ones who put into law that we can't do it. And so they would have to change that, and then we'd have to have four Western states that would also go to this and take an action, California and Oregon. And we have other states with similar legislation that are surrounding us in Idaho, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico. So stay tuned wherever you stand on this, and we'll see what happens with that.
A lot of fun stuff still to be had. I know it's only week three. We're not even halfway through yet, are we?
Nope. And I will tell you, I had a fun day yesterday, because I had Mayor Travis Bacon from Greenbrier and Mayor Mike Corianis from Price up here with me. We're requesting some money for rebates for building new homes, and they were here to help with that. And then my natural gas for rural areas was up on the board, and Mayor Bacon got to sit by me on the floor while I presented that, and it passed unanimously. So we're going to still have to go through Senate, but I'm not expecting problems, and we'll be able to get natural gas to remote areas like Green River and Eureka, and Dominion Energy has a whole list of communities that need natural gas. So I'm really, really excited about getting this moved on.
Representative Christine Watkins again joining us to give us a legislative update. Representative Watkins, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time, and I look forward to talking again next week.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
For more on this Castle Country Focus interview and others, make sure you visit castlecountryradio.com.